Vegas Golden Podcast. We're back for our second show in a week. As promised, I'm Case Kiefer with Justin Emerson, and the Vegas Golden Podcast is brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Bourne Card, the credit card perfect for passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. And we teased it on Monday, I believe, when we talked. We said by Friday when we were back on, which it is Friday when we're recording, that the Golden Knights could be in first place in the Pacific. And there they are, 44 points, technically tied with the Coyotes right now, who have played one less game. But it's got to be a good holiday gift for Golden Knights fans to see Vegas there. And a big reason why they've been able to do it are their best players are producing the way you would hope they would. The top two lines specifically have been on fire. That's our big topic this week. What's going right for all these guys, Justin?
It's just like you had kind of said, everybody's starting to play well. I mean, I think in our last pod, we had talked a lot about Max Pacioretty and how well he'd been playing. Well, Riley Smith's been playing really well, and Jonathan Marchessault and William Karlsson, and they connected for two goals last night in that overtime loss to Vancouver. And Shea Theodore now has 7 points in his last four games. So it's just good to see the star players on the team, the top forwards, the best defensemen on the team, playing up to what they can do. And it's been working. The team's, I think, they're 8-3-1 in their last 12, so they're rolling. Like you'd said, they are tied atop the points lead in the division, though Arizona does have that tiebreaker based on playing fewer games. But no, things are good. We're looking at kind of the unofficial halfway point. This will be our last pod before the holiday, and then we'll be back probably that week after. I'm out of town all next week, so yeah, by the time we get back, they will have crossed the halfway marker, and things are looking good for the Golden Knights for the first time. As good as they have all season, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, might feel like a broken record as I say it every week, but I think their saving grace is, even though they've had probably not a start up to what we may have expected coming into the year, they still have the gift of being in the Pacific, where, I mean, they're technically 500 right now. They've won 19 games and lost 19 games. You include the overtime losses. And like we said, still there at the top. So that's good. Arizona, there's still three games left with the Coyotes. One of them coming up really soon, I believe, Saturday. Christmas. Two after that. And I think if there are games, since we're at the midway point, where you're kind of looking down the schedule of which ones are going to matter, I think those three kind of loom large right now, because these two teams, even though there's not a lot of separation right now, like we said on Monday, I think it's even clearer now that the Coyotes have landed Taylor Hall after that. We talked about it forever.
Yeah,
and it happened
right?
a couple hours later.
We record, and then like an hour later, they trade for him. So I don't even think our pod was posted by the time that whatever.
Well, it would have been, but I think, well, not to get too much into the process, but we basically had a holiday party that prevented some people from getting it up on time. But yeah, so those dates, December 28th, March 18th, March 25th. And all of a sudden, there's going to be a lot of star power on the ice for Vegas, Arizona.
Yeah, there was a tweet yesterday that it said Taylor Hall or Phil Kessel scores on an assist from Taylor Hall. The Coyotes lead 1-0. And I'm like, what a world we live in. Like, could you have imagined just seeing that tweet a year ago and thinking, what on earth happened? But now the Coyotes have some offensive star power for the first time in, I don't know, 15, 20 years. They've got two brand name forwards that are out there. They're leading the Pacific Division. Arizona and Vegas are leading a division that has, you know, a team that, like San Jose, that's in the playoffs every year. And you know, Calgary's been playing well, and it's a strange world to live in, but here we are.
Just for a laugh, I loved how the second game with Taylor Hall, it's like, okay, now we figured out the offense, and they give up 8 goals. I feel like they haven't given up like more than 3 goals all year, and they lost 8-5 to the Wild last night.
That was a little bizarre, but what you gonna do? Sometimes you lay an egg.
Yeah, well, to circle back around to the Golden Knights, I think it's going to have to be those guys at the top of the roster if they're going to put up a big score total against the Coyotes in one of these games. And I mean, so far, it's looking like it can be done. Like you listed off, all those guys playing really well. And I think we mentioned him on Monday, but an underrated part of it has been Chandler Stephenson, mm-hmm. who I think has exceeded expectations no matter what you had of when they traded for him.
Yeah, right now, kind of all the lines are clicking. That Karlsson line is, is doing its thing. The Stevenson is fitting perfectly between Pacioretty and Stone. Third line, I guess, right now, that Stasny, Tuck, and Zikov hasn't done a whole lot, but the fourth line's playing well, too, with Reeves, Noshik, and Carrier. So it's one of those times right now, and you can tell because they've won 8 of their last 12 games, that everything's kind of clicking right now. The offense playing well, defense playing well, goaltending playing well, and it's a reason that they've kind of surged. They had a graphic up on the game broadcast yesterday about how a couple of weeks ago the Golden Knights were 9 points out of the Pacific Division lead. They were in, I think it was sixth place in the division, and here they are. They're, nobody has more points in the division right now, and they're in really good shape.
I always like joking around about our favorite, it's changed a lot, but like our kind of Vegas Golden podcast player that we're rooting for, we get a lot of, we're high on, and he comes through. So I'll throw a curveball to you. If we're buying stock on one of these guys that we think is going to be huge in the whole second half, who are you buying stock on going into the second half among the Golden Knights top skaters?
Well, I think Pacioretty's having he's having the best season of his career right now, which is good to see. I think that's something that's going to continue. Let's see, that's interesting. Shea Theodore, I think, is really starting to get it all together on an offensive standpoint, so I really like what he could bring. So from stock there, I like those two a lot, and that's maybe a bit of a cop out, but I like the best players on the team.
I think Theodore's a little off the beaten path, so you're redeemed. It was a little safe going with the
guy that's leading the team in goals and assists.
But Pacioretty is having a great year, and that is a good discussion. I'm actually kind of glad you steered it that way. It is a question of, does he keep up? Is this going to be a career year, or do we see some regression in the form of a second half? I think you said on Monday, a lot of his underlying numbers are saying like this isn't an overachievement by any means. I think he's shooting below 10%. So you could certainly make the case that he's going to just keep up at this level, and this is a big season for him. I think my guys might be a little bit different. I think just from the eye test, which I know I don't like going off a lot, but I always feel like William Karlsson's playing great, and I don't think he's necessarily had the results to show for it. He only has 10 goals, which seems low to me. I think maybe we'll see Karlsson put some more pucks in the net over the second half.
And he's been a good playmaker. I mean, he's got 20 assists. He has 30 points, which is third on the team. I mean, so if we look at it from a points perspective, not necessarily a goals perspective, I mean, he's on pace for 65 points, which isn't that far off of what he did in that first season, and a big improvement over last year. So, yeah, I like that. I think Karlsson's been playing really well. I think because he's not necessarily scoring goals, people are sleeping on him a little bit. Though he is playing very well, and in my mind, about as well as he played that first season. He just had, I mean, we've talked about it a lot, that shooting percentage, some of that puck luck that was going his way, it just wasn't going to happen again. So if this is what Karlsson is, and if he's going to score 20 goals and put in 45 assists a year or whatever it is, I think that's a very good player.
Yeah, for sure. So Karlsson, for me, I think we'll have a big second half, and I guess you went with the one obvious answer, so I'll go with the other obvious answer of Mark Stone, who, I mean, obviously is going to, I think, continue powering this team. There's nothing you could say poorly about him already through the first half of the season, and I just think if this team is going to get to where they want to be, which, is in contention for the Stanley Cup deep into the playoffs, I think it still falls a lot on Mark Stone's shoulders.
Yep, and he's on pace for 73 points, which is exactly the same amount that he had last year, which was a career best for him. He started off just so hot in those first 15-20 games, and that just wasn't realistic to expect him to become a 110-point scorer or whatever it was he was on pace for. But Mark Stone's playing really well, great defensively. Him and Pacioretty it seems to not matter who their center is that they're going to produce. So, yeah, the good players are good. More at 11.
Right, absolutely. We were so positive. Maybe before we move on from the Golden Knights, we should mention they are actually coming off a loss 5-4 in Vancouver last night. I didn't get to see much of the game, but any takeaways from that? Any reasons to be concerned?
No. I thought that they even played pretty well in the game. I mean, Jacob Markstrom was awesome for the Canucks in goal. Elias Pettersson continues to be a freak that's just going to play awesome every time he faces the Golden Knights, it seems. They battled back. They scored a late goal to even get it to overtime. So I had no problem with last night's game there. And they got a point out of it. So if you're going to lose in overtime. They've done it six times this year. That's six extra points in the standings.
I was about to say, they are good at that. They're good at losing in overtime. I don't know if that should be rewarded, but that's where we're at in the NHL. So there we are.
Six and games decided in the 3-on-3 now, which is, but whatever.
That'll probably be something that evens out as the season progresses too, you would think. Yeah, I'm perfect in the shootout. There you go. What are they, 2-0?
3-0.
3-0. Okay, I missed one. Yeah, so that's something to watch going forward if they'll overtime struggles will continue. And I'll say this keeps our streak alive. I think this might be at least the second, if not the third, straight week where we have nailed what their record would be for the games we were looking at, but haven't got it right on which ones they would win and lose.
Yeah, we both said that they'd beat the Canucks and lose to the Wild, and the reverse was true, but they went 1-1, so... Or technically 1-0-1.
Yeah. So we're going to keep with the theme of halfway point of the season for our Escaping the Fortress. If you remember back to the preseason episodes, we did all the talking we did coming into the season. We picked a whole lot of prop bets, both on, I think, every Golden Knights player, which Justin has readily available for the ways he went. And we also looked at the rest of the league. I remember some of the ones I took on that. So we're just going to kind of check in and see how some of our bets are doing. I know Justin has some popping off the page right now, both good and bad, that he placed.
Yep.
Placed metaphorically on our podcast, of course, not physically.
Yeah. You're the one who bets in real life. I just talk about it, and then I either brag about it or I ignore it, depending on if I was right or wrong. So
well, we're gonna make you do both today.
All right,
brag and self-flagellate yourself.
Yeah, we'll just wait until we get to my Brandon Perry over bet that I was so high on. But I mean, so we did this player per day podcast, as you guys remember, before the season started, and so we'll kind of go in order. So Marc-Andre Fleury, 31.5 wins. Where do you think he is right now? Just without linking too hard, do you think he's
certainly not on pace to do that? But part of that's because he was away from the team, I would think.
I did bet the under on that. He's on pace for 30.2 right now.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's so scary. Even being away from the team, he has 14 wins in 25 games that he's started. So 14 wins over 82 games. That's 30, so that's close. So he's barely under right now. So that's 1-0 for me if he were to stay on that pace. Though, he's not going to be away from the team for a week, probably. So.
Yeah, that's a lot scarier than I thought. I don't have mine available, like I said, of what I picked, but I know I had under on this one, so we're in the same boat.
There we go. William Karlsson, 24.5 goals. Like you said, not really putting the puck into the net as much as maybe you'd like. He is on pace for 21.6, so just under. I also had the under on that one.
Probably had the under, not 100% sure, but okay.
Jonathan Marchessault, the over-under at the start of the year was 24.5. I took the over. He is on pace for 23.7, so just under. That one's really close. That one could still go either way. Riley Smith, over-under 17.5 goals. I took the over. He's on pace for over 30 because he already has 14, so he's going to shatter that over maybe by next week. Let's see, moving on. Nate Schmidt, this was not a Westgate one. You set this one, 10.5 goals. I took the under. I remember calling this one ridiculous and laughing at you. He is on pace for 5. So, yeah, that one's pretty
hurt.
That one's pretty safe under. Derek England, 64.5 games. I took the over. He is on pace for 71. They are playing him quite a bit. So, that one's looking good for me.
He was being a bully the other night.
He is. Got to be in his bonnet lately. Minnesota, against Vancouver. He's been a guy. Ryan Reeves, you set it at 270.5 hits, which would have been a career high. I took the under. He is on pace for 351.
Wow.
He's on pace to shatter it. So that is one that I have been wrong at. Tomáš Nosek, 7.5 goals. I took the over. He's on pace for 11, so he is doing pretty well right now. He has, where'd he go? He already has 5, so he only needs 3 more the rest of the way to hit the over. Will Carrier, 277 hits was the line that you said. I took the over. He's on pace for 231 hits, so a slight, or not slight, I mean, it's 40-something hits, but under, so possible, but unlikely that the over hits on that one. Alex Tuck, 19.5 goals. He has 5 right now. I took the over, So not a great look there. He's on pace for about 15. Remember, he did miss some time as well. So Cody Eakin, 12.5 goals. I took the under, which to me felt like one of the safer bets on the team this year. He has 3 goals this year. He's on pace for 8.5. Brandon Peary, 11.5 goals was the over-under. I took the over because I thought that Brandon Peary was going to have a good year. He has 0 goals and isn't on the team.
Oh.
So this
he
is...
He didn't score one?
He did not score one. He had 1 assist, I believe.
Oof.
Yeah, so I've been doing pretty well on these. This one... is the yeah he had 1 assist in 11 games before he was waived. I do not see him scoring 12 goals this year. It would be a miracle. All right, rolling right along. John Merrill, you set the over under here at 50.5% Corsi, which I love. I love that we're dropping Corsi into a totals bet. I took the over on that. He's currently at 53.97.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's in,
got a good edge on that one right now.
He's in good shape there. Nick Holden, 56.5 games was the over-under. I chose the under, on pace for 62.5. So he is set to hit the over there.
Depends on injuries, though.
It could. That one could still hit. That one's still kind of juries out on that one. All right, the last couple of guys. Shea Theodore, 12.5 goals. I took the under. I thought that he would have a lot of assists, but not a lot of goals. I've been... kind of right on that one. He
definitely
has
right.
four goals.
And
yeah, he's on pace for 8.5 goals. Braden McNabb, 15.5 points was the line. I took the over. He has 6 points. He's on pace for 13. So that one's a probably not, but a decent hot streak could do it for him. And then the last couple of guys, Paul Stastny, 14.5 goals. I took the under. He has 8 right now. He's on pace for 17. So that one's close. He also hasn't scored in a month, so there's possibility that one could still go under. Max Pacioretty, which one was I was high on Max Pacioretty coming into the year. The line was 27.5. I think we both took the over on that one.
I hope you're right. I was just thinking, God, I hope I have Pacioretty.
He
over.
Is on pace for 32.5. So he has 15 goals right now, not quite at the halfway point of the year. So he is on pace to hit that over. Mark Stone, 32.5 goals was the line. I took the under. He has 13 right now and is on pace for 28. So
I think I took the over on our podcast, but then I got in the Westgate contest where you pick a bunch of these props, and I think I took under. I know Stone had 3 different props in it, and I know I took under on 2 and I believe over on 1. I might have taken over on assists, so I think I did. Might have done pretty well on this one, but it sounds like to me by that rundown, you're doing very well.
Yeah, I'm counting up right now. 6-4, 7-4, 7-5, 8-5. Yeah, it looks like, let's see, 8-6, 9-6, 9-7. Not as good as I thought. 10-7, 11. So I'm 11-8 based on the 19 players with a couple, just based on pace four. So a couple of those. Both right and wrong could still go either way, but I'm gonna pat myself on the back.
Yeah, I'm giving you a passing grade for that. I wish I brought my ticket slip so I could see how I was doing, but maybe we'll update on a future episode.
Yeah, there we go. At the end of the year, we'll come back and take a look at these. I will say though that if you get 11 out of 19 prop bets, even at a little bit of, even at not quite even money, I feel like I'd still be positive.
Yeah, you would be positive for sure. Since I was pretty worthless in that and don't remember a lot of my bets, I will say I can look back at just a few very quickly that I said team-wise going into the season. I know which bets I actually have made, which positions I have, and what I'm probably doing worse than Justin, although I think I'm about 50-50 in all of them. I do remember the 2 divisional bets I made, neither looking great right now. I had both Nashville and Carolina at about 4-1 and better. I actually still like my Carolina position. They have the best goal differential in the Metro. They're 7 points back from Washington. Well, it's still, that's best. Is it not best? It's not a loss.
Right,
7
right.
points back. I think I'm still fine with 4-1 on that one, I think is what I got for them. I want to say Nashville was a little higher, like 6-1. I don't like that as much.
They're out of a playoff spot and 12 points back of St. Louis, though, with 2 games in hand. So if they win both of those, they're only, well, 8 points back.
Yeah, and I do think the Central comes down to the very end again, but I don't think that Nashville will be one of those teams in the running.
I was just going to say, did you have a ticket on Toronto to win the Atlantic, or was that just
I did not
that
it was just something on. I yeah. picked yeah no safe. I have actually no not that I remember I don't think I have any bets in the Atlantic. I have a terrible one in the Metro of I think the Islanders under 91.5 points. Oof. And it feels like they might already be there.
Well,
they're 48, but
yeah, they're at 48 with only 33 games played, so they are on pace for 119 points.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad one, so that's going to be a loser. And speaking of two other sure losers, I know I have some winners too, but I'm just going to focus on the things I did poorly. I had Colorado, I think, at 2-1 to miss the playoffs. That's not happening.
No.
They look very good. And I actually, this at first, I was ready to throw this one away, but they've made a little bit of a run. Now they're only three, or I think they're only 2 points out of a playoff spot. I do have Minnesota plus money to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that one, I think I remember chuckling at you at the beginning of the year. But I would still lean toward them not making the playoffs, but it's not as insane of a bet as I would have thought at the beginning of the year when they won like four of their first 15 games or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's close. So I think I've done mostly poorly. I know I have some winners mixed sprinkled in there somewhere too. Oh, I definitely have Rangers under, I think Devils under. So I got a few things working in my favor, but overall, I think Justin's off to all the bets and predictions we made. I think Justin might be in a little bit better position than I am.
A lot of good it does me. I don't actually bet, so I don't actually make any money off of these, but
we'll be more concrete next time we'll bring this up. Hopefully I'll look into some of what I had, but that was fun for our Escaping the Fortress segment, looking at some of the things we did before the season. Let's move to the next up segment where we look at the Golden Knights upcoming games. There's a whole lot, I guess, because we're not going to be back till the new year. What do you want to do? Talk about the next five?
I think we could do the next four games.
Okay.
Well, we could maybe
Let's just finish off 2019.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Because, I mean, two of them.
Five games.
Yeah, two of them are against the same team. Anaheim, they have basically a home and home with Arizona in between on the December 27th and December 31st. At San Jose on Sunday, Colorado on Monday, so an interesting back-to-back there, and then those trio of aforementioned games with Anaheim and Arizona. Anything stand out about this stretch?
You don't love having to play Colorado on the second night of a back-to-back, and quite honestly, you don't love having to play Arizona on the second night of a back-to-back. I think you'd rather, if you could, flip those and get the rest for ahead of the Avalanche and the Coyotes, but that's kind of how the schedule goes. I mean, this is, we had talked about it, either this pod or the last one, that this is the time that the Golden Knights need to start banking some points. They had a lot of games coming up against teams below them in the standings, and Vancouver they won, Minnesota they won, Vancouver they lost in overtime, so they've got 5 out of 6 possible points. Well, this is kind of a continuation of that. They get the Sharks and the Ducks twice in the next 5 games. Those are games that you should win. And the Sharks rivalry is whatever. You know, you can never really discount a rivalry game, and the Sharks did win in overtime the last time. But if you're going to make a run at the playoffs, you're going to have to beat the bad teams and occasionally beat the good teams. So, you know, this is a tough stretch for them. I mean, there's no easy games. You know, the team likes to say that a lot. But, you know, I will say that they go 3-2 this week. Or this week and a half, I guess.
This year.
Yeah, for the rest of the year. These next 5 games. I'll give them a win over one of the good teams, Arizona or Colorado, and I think that they lose one of the games to the Ducks. So let's say that they beat the Sharks, lose to the Avalanche, lose at Anaheim, and then beat Arizona and Anaheim at home. Those are going to be my prediction. 3-2 over the next 5.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to go. I mean, the Sharks are really just in disrepair right now. Right when it looked like maybe they were getting it together, I think they've lost 7 of 8 now, have a new coach since the last time the Golden Knights saw them. Finally let Pete DeBoer go. I loved that statement, by the way, of like, after all the coaching controversies in the NHL, they're like, this has nothing to do with...
Yeah, I love that they needed to come out and say, no, we just don't think he's a good coach anymore. Like, nothing bad, nothing other than that.
That might be my favorite moment of the NHL so far this year. That was hilarious. Nothing personal. we just don't want you coaching our team anymore. So I think that even at San Jose, you got to go with a win there. A back-to-back with Colorado. Oof, and I have some... probably shouldn't be influenced by this, but I just have memories of that game with Colorado at T-Mobile earlier in the year where the Golden Knights didn't have a chance from the moment the puck dropped.
Yeah,
so
good, man.
Yeah, on really a back-to-back, good. I mean, I think this is going to be about a pick 'em, but I think I might go with Colorado here. Anaheim, I just think the Golden Knights are kind of
they've won 8 of 9 games all time against the Ducks.
Yeah,
as much as we talk about them dominating the Canucks, I don't think we talk enough about how they just destroy the Ducks.
And now that the Canucks got an overtime win, if they beat the Ducks, both of these two, the Ducks kind of are the new Canucks in
they
a way.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, John Gibson's really good. And I don't want to put too much on the goalie because I think that the players in front of him aren't very good. But I just think that Gibson's going to I can just see him stealing one. That's my logic, I guess, is just really, really good goalie.
Yeah, I can't fault you. And they showed some flashes early in the year. They still have some decent young pieces, but I just can't pick the Golden Knights to lose to Anaheim either. So I'm actually going to go with wins in both of those. And why not? I'll say they beat Arizona too. So I'm going to actually have 4-1. One of these, maybe even two, will be an overtime win. But I'm going to say 4-1 to end the year.
Man, am I excited for that Arizona game next Saturday.
Yeah, that should be fun. I was looking at it and saying, maybe I'll go to that, but I think it's the college football playoff, so I'll probably sit it out. But that will be really fun. If it was any other night, I think I would be there.
Yeah, they come back again.
Yeah, they'll come back in March.
I just think that we've got the Coyotes and Golden Knights. I think that those are going to be the two teams fighting for the Pacific the rest of the year. And 3 more games between them. I'm looking forward to all of them and looking forward to hearing a call from my uncle whether or not the Golden Knights win or lose those games. Big Coyotes fan who I think is starting to get really angry at the Golden Knights now that it could be head-to-head.
Oh, wow. Always a big Coyotes fan or a big Coyotes fan this year?
He's always been a big Coyotes fan. I'll give him that one. He went to the games when they were bad. So.
All right, we got to give Justin's uncle some love then. As I know, there's a lot of people in Phoenix that are going to be jumping on the bandwagon now that they're actually good this year, right?
They haven't made the playoffs in 7 years. Like, it's something that city needs.
Yeah, I feel like that happens in every city and just you know, some get more of a hard time about it, but I certainly think that's going to happen with the Coyotes
for sure. Yeah,
because they struggle to draw when they're you know, kind of average to terrible, which has been a lot lately. Now that they're good, it's going to make these games fun, and just shows you how fluid this thing is. I think by the time, especially if they play in the playoffs, I mean, Vegas and Arizona are going to be like the biggest rivals by the end of the year, which would have sounded crazy coming into the season.
Yep.
So that will be fun. Before we go, our last piece of business that must be taken care of, the Shining Knight competition.
Last one of the year.
Yeah, last one of the year. Did I fall further behind last week?
You did.
Because Alex Tuch did basically nothing for me.
Yeah, Smith had 2 assists last night. Or was it a goal? Yeah, a goal and an assist.
Ugh, so it's 7-2.
Real tough.
It's really, really bad. Yeah, I got to go on a run here. Yeah, we are resetting after this one, so everyone's on the board for next year.
Resetting the board, but not the score.
Well, yeah, I know. But
man, I'll give you like 4.5 or something in the second half because, whew, boy. Yeah. It is my turn to pick first. You have not picked Mark Stone, so I think your choice is fairly obvious.
Thanks for spoiling it.
Real spoiler there. Yeah, so let's see. I've got a couple of options left. So for fun, neither one of us this entire year chose Carrier, Eakin, England, Haig, Holden, McNabb, Merrill, Reeves, Waugh, Stastny.
Neither of us took Stastny? Well, that's kind of surprising.
Well, I guess I'm going to take Paul Stastny. So
there
he'll be my Shining Knight for the last 5 games of 2019.
I don't like that because that can kind of be a blocker bet too.
Nah, they're
to
not
me.
Playing on the same line right now.
That's true. I guess just think of them together.
Yeah,
and that can always change.
And they'll probably be back together at some point,
but probably
as
not
of right
soon.
Now, Chandler Stevenson is the Stone patch ready center.
All right. Well, I'm taking Mark Stone. Obviously, I think I kept wondering about pulling the trigger and kept wanting to wait, and now I get him for 5 games.
This is a good opportunity.
Yeah, I'm happy to have Mark Stone. Hopefully I can cut into this deficit just a little bit. And we'll see how the second half of the year goes.
All right,
well, that does it for Vegas Golden Podcast. We'll be back to you in 2020. Woo! For Justin, I'm Case. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening.